Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Styrenix Performance Materials Limited conference call. We have with us today from the management of Styrenix Performance Materials Limited, Mr. Rahul Agarwal, Managing Director, Mr. Bhupesh P. Porwal, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Chintan Doshi, Manager, Legal and Company Secretary. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Further, on behalf of the management of the company, we would like to remind the participants that this call is being conducted subject to and in line with the disclaimer mentioned in the investor presentation, as is available on the stock exchange. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Bhupesh P. Porwal. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Porwal.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, namaste everyone. I am pleased to welcome you to our Q3 and the period ended December 24 conference call. As we reflect on our performance in the fiscal year 2025, I am delighted to announce that we have witnessed a robust demand for our products for 9 months of FY25, marking a significant growth trend. Coming on to the financial performance of Q3, sales volume for Q3 was 47.5 KT versus 41.8 KT in Q2 FY25. That is an increase of 14.5% and by 34.4% compared to Q3 FY24, which was 35.6 KT. Revenue stood at 691 crore in Q3 FY25 versus 653 crore in Q2 FY25. That is increased by 6% and increased by 42.5% compared to Q3 FY24, which was 485 crore. PBDIT stood at 75.4 crore, that is at 10.9% versus 105 crore, 15.9% in Q2 FY25, and 60 crore, that is 12.3% in Q3 FY24. PAT stood at 47.7 crore in Q3, that is 6.3% versus 70.1 crore, 10.6% in Q2. For the YTD FY25 highlights, sales volume for YTD December 2024 stood at 137 KT versus 120 KT in YTD December 2023. That is, it has increased by 14.3%. Revenue stood at 2043 crore versus 1623 crore. That is increased by 26% compared to YTD December 2023. PBDIT stood at 273 crore. That is 13.3%, which is better by 1.1% compared to YTD December 2023. PAT stood at 179 crore. That is 8.8%, which is better by 1.1% compared to YTD December 2023. We expect Q4 to be average based on the historical industry needs. Industry trend, sorry. Styrenix had entered a SPA with INEOS Styrolution Group GmbH on 9th of December 2024 for acquiring 100% shareholding of INEOS Styrolution Thailand Company Limited, located in Thailand. The acquisition transaction has been successfully completed on 17th of January 2025. Styrenix Performance Materials is now holding 100% control and shares of INEOS Styrolution Thailand Company Limited through its affiliates and subsidiaries. The new name of the company has also been changed effective today, and now it will be called Styrenix Performance Materials Thailand Limited. We had also announced about our debottlenecking exercise and expansion plans in October 2023. We have completed debottlenecking activity at our polystyrene plant in the last quarter, which we have discussed, and in this quarter, we had completed at our Nandesari plant, increasing the rubber capacity up till 27 KT. We had announced about our expansion plan in October 2023. We are also significantly accelerating our plant brownfield expansion in ABS and aim to add, as part of phase one, 50 KT ABS capacity by middle of 2026 itself, which in our earlier plan was 2028. Phase two to add another 50 KT of ABS will follow and is expected to be commissioned ahead of the schedule. This is all about highlights for the quarter and period ended December 24, and now we may proceed to answer the questions you may have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Rahul Agarwal with Ikigai Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Very good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, one question was, firstly, congratulations on the acquisition. Seems like a good quality asset at a reasonable price. Could you help us understand the longer-term thought process on this asset, please, in terms of, you know, how do you want to grow this business from here on, and what could be the return on investment we can expect overall on the entire asset, please?
Okay. Hi, Rahul. Thanks. This is Rahul Agarwal also. Now, in terms of the Thai asset, there are multiple synergies that we have with the current business in India. As far as the product profile is concerned in Thailand, we are adding few technologies in the Thailand business which we did not have in India. For instance, we shall have access to certain extrusion grade ABS which can be used to make also refrigeration liner grade ABS, which is unique to the plant in Thailand. There is a large market for in India which is currently served by imports. With this acquisition, we get access to that technology, which is a significant development. We also get access to certain water clear SAN or high chemical resistance SAN, which is again produced specifically in the Thailand plant and is not commonly produced elsewhere in the region. We also get certain other bimodal rubber technology which can be used for certain applications which are under the low temperature ductility kind of applications. So all in all, there are multiple uses for new uses for the technologies which would be coming in from the Thailand facility, which can help expand our product profile in India. There is, of course, a capacity also which we are getting. There is a rubber capacity of about 31,000 tons, a total ABS capacity of around 85,000 tons, and a SAN capacity of 100,000 tons. SAN, of course, if it is utilized to make ABS, the SAN available for sale would be reduced by that extent. However, the asset is unutilized, as you may have seen from the investor presentation. We did about 74, or INEOS did about 74,000 tons of sales last year in the calendar year. So overall, if you look at ABS and SAN and exclude the SAN used for ABS, the total capacity would be to the tune of 125,000 tons. So we have obviously some headroom to grow over there. We get access to all different new markets as well. There are already a fair bit of qualifications which have been done from product in Thailand in very key markets and key sectors like automotive industry, household appliances in China, in Vietnam, in Indonesia, in Thailand, in Japan, in Korea, and we get access to all these markets also now. There are qualifications done with OEMs over there which can also benefit us in India and vice versa. So I believe there are multiple synergies with this business which can be exploited and explored over a period of time. We do believe, given the capacities, we can achieve a similar kind of a capacity utilization levels in Thailand that we have in India over a period of time, given our strengths which already exist in India and in Thailand. How that will, you know, finally result, you know, into a return of investment is a little early, you know, to give you exact numbers on that. But we believe that the considering the cost of acquisition, this to be highly attractive and you know, should be a very rewarding acquisition for the company and the shareholders.
Got it. So to understand this correctly, this is an operational plant, and we'll just, you know, whatever new additions on product side we'll do, we'll see numbers adding up on the consolidated numbers starting fourth quarter of fiscal 25. Is that understanding correct?
That is correct.
Okay, perfect. And secondly, the question was on the India business. Looks like the margins could have been better, I thought. So, you know, just your assessment on the 3Q margins and the outlook for next 6 to 12 months. Thank you.
So the margins in the second quarter, which was in September, were a little bit higher on account of some extraordinary gains we had in that quarter. There were certain supply chain disruptions in that quarter on account of certain freights, which I had alluded to in the last call as well. Those have normalized. So those margins would not be the good, you know, benchmark to take. But if you consider year on year, our spreads, so to speak, are still quite healthy, and they are in line with what we have done. In fact, we have done better if you look at year on year. Overall, on a blended basis, we have had higher sales of polystyrene in the last quarter compared to what we have had in the previous year. So as a percentage of overall volumes, polystyrene might have contributed a higher percentage, and hence polystyrene having slightly lower margins historically, the overall margins might look lower, but net-net, the way we look at it, our spreads are still very much intact and only growing.
Got it, Rahul. I have more questions. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Aditya Khetan with Smith's Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is with respect to this Thailand acquisition. Sir, we are witnessing, like, in terms of sales volume from 2021 to 24, there is a continual drop. And in 2023, EBITDA also was in losses. Any particular reason? Because when we look at the global market, so the spreads were healthy, like, for the last two to three years. Any particular reason why this business was struggling?
So in 21, of course, Aditya, the globally, all the polymer producers, including ABS producers globally, had unusual windfall profits, and the margins and spreads were very high. In fact, the last 2 years, the years that you are alluding to, the global margins have not been very good. Of course, we have done much better in India, but the spreads across Asia or Europe or the US for that matter have not been very healthy. And, the spreads, and of course, in Thailand also have not been very, very healthy. But I think the fact is that we have done some things differently in the Indian business, and we do believe that we can do similar things in Thailand as well after a period of time.
But sir, any sort of a particular negative, like wasn't the product fit for the market, or any sort of a change, like, which has happened into that business, which is why it was not performing well?
So I would ignore 21, essentially, where the the revenues were much higher, account of much, much higher prices due to the supply chain disruptions. If you look at the last 3 years, yes, 22 revenues were a bit higher, but they kind of normalized, if you will, for that part of the business going to 23, and then 24, in fact, there is a slight upside as well. So the revenue has grown again from 23 to 24, coming back into a positive territory and in the right direction. So 23 was, of course, a tough year for everyone globally, and the Thailand was no different over there. The product mix per se has not changed over there. I think overall sales volumes were a bit lower, as you can see. Sales volumes had reached a high level of 105 KT in 21, and then they dipped down to around 65 KT odd in 23, and then they moved up to 75 KT again. And obviously, from this point on, we do believe there is a room to grow the business further in terms of volumes.
Got it. Sir, my next question is, sir, when we look at your new capacities, like which you have de-bottlenecked on polystyrene and on ABS, so the additional volumes hasn't, like, flown through your EBITDA numbers. Like, it has, the spreads have actually dropped. This is also related to higher increase in other expense. So this operating leverage benefit hasn't played out yet, and you expect this to come in the coming quarters. And what is the reason for this higher other expense?
So I'll speak to in terms of spreads. See, the overall spreads are still intact. If you look at, in fact, 9 months, our spreads are much higher, in the overall business, which have been historically the case. And, of course, some of it I have also alluded, and I mentioned explicitly that is due to certain extraordinary gains we had in the second quarter. But all in all, if you look at an average time in terms of spreads, the spreads haven't really, gone down. In fact, they have only increased. Again, I'm repeating myself where I say that in the third quarter, we have had higher polystyrene sales. We did debottlenecking of polystyrene in the second quarter, which is why polystyrene sales were lower in that quarter. In the third quarter, after debottlenecking, polystyrene production and volumes came up. We are a supply constrained kind of a company where we are limited by the amount of production we can make. So once the production came online, we have been able to sell more of the product available to us in terms of polystyrene. In terms of ABS, again, debottlenecking has only been completed for a rubber plant as of end of December, and those benefits would come online perhaps in this quarter and the next quarter. So on an annual basis, I think the spreads are fine, and we don't see any major concern for that. Other expenses, again, you know, if you look at fuel or utility and those kind of costs, we do see a reduction. We do see an operating leverage over there. There could be some specific expenses which may have, you know, changed a little bit, but otherwise there is no significant variance.
Got it. So just one last question. Sir, what would be the peak potential revenue we are expecting from the Thailand plant? And secondly, like, how are we onto the standalone business? So we are maintaining our volume growth guidance of 15 to 20%?
That is correct. For India business, we are maintaining the volume growth guidance. We never given guidance, but we have always told you that we are increasing our capacities, debottlenecking our plants, and in accordance with how the volumes would be available to us, our sales would grow. And we are maintaining that even now. So as our debottlenecking and additional volumes have become available to the company for sale, we are being able to convert that into sales for the firm. So that is still on track, very much so. As far as Thailand is concerned, you know, I would take a cue from India business in terms of what, you know, volumes we do and what are the subsequent sales and revenues numbers associated with that. Thailand would essentially follow that as well, as we are able to effectively completely utilize the capacities.
Got it. Thank you, sir. That's it from me.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Nirav Jimudia with Anvil Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Good afternoon. Sir, I have two questions. So, one is on the ABS side. So, when we look at rubber capacities here in India, which is now debottlenecked to 27,000 tons, and which can now support our production close to around 1,5,000 tons of ABS. And when we compare our Thailand acquisition there, possibly the rubber capacity is 31,000 tons, but the ABS capacity is 85. So just wanted to ask you, like, does the quality of rubber plays an important role? Because generally when we see here, it's like 0.25. But when we see our Thailand plant, it is slightly on a higher side. So one, if you can share your thoughts here in terms of on the rubber side. And secondly, let's say when we will increase our capacities of ABS further by close to around 1 lakh tons, 50,000 tons of two phases. Is it safe to assume that we would need additional 25,000 tons of rubber capacities to support this? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Nirav. So you are right. You know, the rubber that we produce in Thailand is a little bit different from the rubber we produce in India. In the rubber that we produce in India, also after you know, we took over management control as of November 22, we did some improvements to the quality of rubber, due to which we were able to get higher rubber efficiency here. In Thailand, of course, it's not an exact comparison because it is a bimodal rubber which supports kind of high ductility applications as well. So, and it also supports certain other kind of applications of the final ABS. So, you know, that rubber has its own properties and own qualities. Again, it depends on which grade we are making. There are specific grades that we produce in Thailand which may require slightly higher rubber content. But yes, in terms of technological advantages and synergies that can be used between both the sites in terms of perhaps improving rubber efficiencies in Thailand, these are projects that we will definitely undertake and see if we can increase capacities even further from the kind of nameplate capacities of 85,000 tons that they have over there. As far as the expansion in India is concerned for the 50 KT additional ABS capacity, you are right. There will be augmentation required in rubber, also in some augmentation in sand and compounding. So all of these things will be completed, you know, over the next 18 months. Some of the expansions may happen quicker in some of these cases, but the overall additional capacity of 50 KT will be available to us subsequently after 18 months, as we have stated.
Correct. So Sir, just wanted to clarify, like, in terms of our continuous innovation on the rubber side, is it possible to further reduce those norms of rubber to ABS production when we would take up those expansions? Or now we already reached the peak innovation in terms of the rubber to ABS conversion, and this could be taken as a norm going forward?
So, you know, there is always room for innovation. That's what I believe. However, you know, we have covered quite a bit of a distance in terms of improving, you know, rubber efficiency or quality in India. There still may be some room to grow, but, you know, a large part of that has already been captured as of now.
Got it. So second question is on the polystyrene. So, when we see, like, what we have seen is that we already expanded our capacities from 65,000 to 100 KT. And last time on the conference call when we interacted, you mentioned that, like, there are approvals pending from the customer side, which would help us to, A, grow the volumes, from the application point of view, as well as the normal growth, what we can see from the consumer durable side. So if you can share your thoughts here, like, from the approval side, specifically from the application point of view, where we stand at this point of time, because once we receive that, this could straight away give us those incremental volumes, plus the normal, growth, what we can envisage in terms of the growth in the consumer durable side. So your thoughts here.
Yeah. So, essentially, you know, as we spoke about last time, we had a capacity of about 65,000 tons of polystyrene last year. In the second quarter of last year, we augmented our capacities on polystyrene, thereby further enhancing our output of general purpose polystyrene, essentially, to begin with. And we were able to expand that, you know, significantly with the kind of approval investment that we did. We were able to achieve higher output, you know, as of last quarter, and hence those additional volumes which came in were easily sold in the marketplace. And that happened because of both the reasons that you've already mentioned, because, you know, all the work that has gone in by our team in terms of validation was successful, and we are able to get much larger share of OEM business that we were doing earlier. And also, you know, as you know, the normal growth is there in these sectors and applications that we cater to. So we are getting a benefit of both. Again, to reiterate, we are, you know, finally constrained by the amount of product we can produce. And mostly all of the product that we are producing, we are able to currently sell.
Correct. So, sir, two things here. So one, are there still some application-based approvals which needs to be received from the customers? And also, if you can break up our PS capacities between GP and HI, that would be helpful, sir.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are some approvals which have already come through. There are approvals for certain grades which are still going on, which would still probably take maybe one or two quarters more. You know, and what happens is even after the approvals are received, there is, of course, a slow ramp-up, you know, in terms of the demand offtake by these customers as they slowly start using these products in those applications for which they give us approvals. However, I think it suits us because, honestly, we are kind of running quite high on capacity utilization. So as and when we are able to slowly increase the capacities to the level customers require them, I think we'll be still in line with demand as well as the supply situation. So that is all going on. In terms of GP and kind of high-impact polystyrene, you know, we were running at about 50-50. Today, the ratio might be close to kind of 65-35, where 65% could be general-purpose polystyrene and 35% would be high-impact polystyrene.
Thank you so much, sir. Just the last bit, because the application is predominantly the refrigerators and washing machines here for the polystyrene, how much of our total volumes would be spread across these two broader segments, if you can share?
It would be close to around, so it's hard to give you for both the categories because, again, from HIPS and GPPS, you know, the offtake in both the segments are different. However, at an average broader level, we can say around close to 40%.
40% each for each of them, right?
Yeah, overall 40% would be in the durable sector.
Perfect, perfect. Thank you so much, sir, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Pritesh with Lucky Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. I have two questions. So first on the operating metrics side. So between quarter one and quarter three, keeping the quarter two aside for the logistic benefit in the spreads. So between quarter one and quarter three for a similar volume, the profitability is different in quarter three versus quarter one. So quarter three is lower versus quarter one. And we have a setup of higher volumes and lower power or lower energy costings via the fuel change on one side, and the polystyrene higher contribution in the mix. So if you could just explain these two quarters, how should we see it in terms of the changes in profitability? Because the volume is similar, we are at
So in quarter one, of course, you know, the sales of ABS would have been much higher than in the case of quarter three. In quarter three, the sales of polystyrene are much higher. There are two reasons for that. One is, you know, of course, we did debottlenecking for polystyrene Q2, and that's why we had to take a shutdown also in polystyrene in Q2. Hence, you know, we have lower amount of product available in that quarter. Once the debottlenecking was completed, not only was the product available, it was available in higher quantities for Q3. Similar issue was in ABS. As we already mentioned, you know, we had kind of debottlenecking exercises done for rubber plant. So slightly lower volumes were available for ABS, in fact, in Q3, which now has been corrected towards, you know, end of Q3. So in Q4, again, the full volumes of ABS would also be available to us from our rubber plant. So that is where we have had a kind of a mix, you know. So overall, in terms of volumes, you will see higher volumes contributing in polystyrene in Q3, and in Q1, higher volumes contributing in ABS as the overall percentage.
So Q1 has higher volumes of ABS, Q2 has a higher volume of ABS because of debottlenecking of polystyrene.
Right.
Q3 has a higher volume of polystyrene because of debottlenecking of ABS.
Correct.
Okay. Okay, understood. And what happens to the energy saving or the fuel change across plants? Because you had started the year with only one plant, so where are we on that and the 200 basis point savings on it on the margin side?
Yeah, so 200 basis points is not something which I have ever, you know, kind of extended or specified. It has been inferred by everyone, but there is definitely a saving. We are moving in the right direction over there. We see a utility saving in the Q3. We have completed, as you know, the fuel saving exercise largely also in the Dahej plant, which is a polystyrene plant, with higher throughputs, which we have seen in the last quarter, and consequently, of course, we'll see even higher throughputs in Q4 in polystyrene. Those savings will be significant, which, you know, details will be available, of course, by the end of the next quarter as well to you. As far as ABS, as far as the other plants are concerned, we have had, you know, we have delayed a little bit on the project on fuel saving because frankly, we are running very full on capacity utilization, and we have had to delay that project because that would also entail some shutdown, which we are not in a position to take. So that could get delayed by a quarter or so on Kakur, which is the SAN plant.
On the SAN. So it is only left on the SAN plant to bring the fuel chips?
Right. That's right.
Okay. And what explains the QQ rise in the other expenses then?
I'm sorry?
What explains the QOQ rise in other expenses line item between quarter two and quarter three? Is it the certain debottlenecking expenses are also a part of that?
Yes, there are repairs and maintenance cost debottlenecking expenses, which would be part of that as well. So I think that would be the major expense, which you have correctly pointed out, which would have caused some of those other expenses to increase.
So for the 9 months since you have gone through two bottlenecking, both at polystyrene and ABS, we'll have a larger repair and maintenance expense this year versus the last year?
I think we are still almost the same. Because, you know, last year there were other projects which had to be carried out, you know, and this year there are different projects. So there were debottlenecking projects which were carried out last year as well, as you're aware. We did a lot of process innovation as well, and we did debottlenecking. So this is different debottlenecking. It's just happened at different times of the year.
Okay. My last question is on Thailand asset. So what should be the route to higher volumes or higher utilization? And what would be the corresponding route to EBITDA improvement? And did you mention that the Thai asset should have a profitability similar to India, or I misheard it?
Yes, so I have not made any comment with regards to comparative profitability. But in terms of asset utilization, you know, and revenue increase in Thailand, we do believe that there is a product profile there in terms of you know, requirements across the world where we can service those requirements from that products produced in Thailand. We already have relationships even from India, for instance, which we can cater to. However, and at the same time, there are also relationships that we have in the other parts of the world which the Thailand plant can contribute to. So we will have kind of synergistic benefits in our sales channels. On the product portfolio as well, there are a lot of interesting qualifications in the automotive sector, for instance, in Vietnam, in China, in Indonesia, and great relationships from the plant in Thailand, which are supplying relatively unique and great products. And we will be able to use that to our advantage, you know, in India as well. And consequently, also there are similar things going on in terms of product portfolio qualifications in India. So both the things will work in our advantage. We do believe, you know, there are certain products for which we are already running short in India, so that additional capacities in Thailand can also be more effectively utilized in the short term till we, you know, get our own capacities online in India. So there are multiple ways to increase capacity utilization and revenues in Thailand. We'll just optimize for what is best across the group.
Multiple ways means a lot of that volume has to be exported. See, so let's say when you look at the world growth and the durables growth and the auto growth, the growth, larger growth country is basically us, India. So the capacity utilization there will be a function of more volumes being sent to India. Is that the way? So when I said route to better volume, I need to know where incremental volumes will be sold, basically.
So if you look at the current business profile of the Thailand business, 50% of the sales come from China and Hong Kong, 25% comes from Thailand, and the balance 25% comes from Japan, Korea, Indonesia, Vietnam. We actually have a very good understanding of each of these markets. There is actually a lot of opportunity in these markets still, which have not been tapped yet. So while India is, of course, also a market where we can export from Thailand, it is not the only market, and it is not the market we are necessarily depending on as far as the Thailand product is concerned.
So you have to sell more volumes in the existing market.
Correct.
And the profitability, what it should be, yes, eventually on a full asset? Or what should be ROIC on your asset?
ROC on my investment?
Yeah. Whichever way you are comfortable to.
Yeah. So we haven't given any kind of estimation on the ROC. And you're talking about on the Thailand asset, right, essentially?
Ah, yes, yes, Thailand.
Yeah, yeah. So on the Thailand asset, as you know, we have given $22 million for the acquisition of the asset. If you look at certain other details we have shared in the investor presentation, actually, they don't have any bank borrowings in terms of working capital either. There's a working capital of about $13 million, I think about 109 crores, which is there in the, which is used, which was actually being, you know, given by the parent company. There's an offset over there. And there's a cash in the bank of about 33 crores, about $4 million, which is also sitting in the assets. So, you know, we have to see in that context, you know, what we have actually paid for the asset and what is the asset value. So we do believe that, you know, depending on how the profitability changes over a period of time with all the measures we intend to do in Thailand, we do believe the ROC will be quite comfortably good on our investment at least.
But being a superior product, should the profitability then be higher than India per unit profitability?
So I would not call any product superior or inferior. These are different markets, with different applications. They have different formulations. So all these things have to be fine-tuned to really understand, where the profitability is higher and lower. But yes, there is a lot of room to do improvements and fine-tuning in all these cases.
Okay, sir. I'll come back if I have more questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Ranveer Singh with ESV Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, Rahul. Congratulations on the acquisition. I had a few questions pertaining to the Thailand acquisition first. So I see that our ABS capacity that we've acquired over there is 1,000 KTs. And last year we did a sales of about 75 KTs, which got us a revenue of 1,100 crore. So at full capacity, our revenue potential should be somewhere around 1,400 to 1,500 crores. And last year I see there was no EBITDA. So how do you see this going forward?
So like we have already explained, the capacity can go up. Whether the revenue will go to 1,500 crores or 1,700 crores or, I can't comment right now because obviously it's a function of price, and price is often a function of raw material costs, which can be volatile from time to time. So while I can't comment on, exactly what the revenue would be on full utilization levels, but keeping the assumptions of existing pricing in place, that seems to be reasonable what you are assuming. I think in terms of EBITDA, there is a lot of improvements which are possible in the Thailand facility. The revenue increasing itself will make the business profitable. However, there are many other projects which we do believe are possible to further fine-tune the asset. If you look at the India business also, there were a lot of things which were being done in a certain management method prior to our management takeover. And prior to, the COVID eras when the company made, large profits, if you see the balance sheet of INEOS Styrolution or Styrenix at that time for the period of 19 and 20, you will see a certain picture, at certain capacities. With the same capacity or slightly higher capacities, obviously we have certain EBITDAs which are much more healthy. So I do believe there is a case to do a lot of work in Thailand along similar lines. We have to wait and watch what that yields in terms of exact EBITDAs.
Yeah, that answers my question. So when you acquired the company in November 22, we saw that there was a margin improvement due to your experience of processes. So I get that. So I just wanted to understand, I was just seeing the balance sheet of the Thailand acquisition of the Thailand unit. So you were saying they have more long-term debts and the total equity is 464 crores. So how did we get the plant for 160 crores net of cash balances? Because I remember we'd announced our capacities being expanded from 210,000 for ABS from 210,000, from 105,000 to 210,000, and polystyrene for 105,000 to 150,000, which was a 150k ton increase, for which an estimated cost was 650 crores. I know that was not conclusive. So, is this a really good deal?
I think you've answered your question, no, Ranveer?
Yeah. I wanted affirmation from you.
I don't see a question there, so I'm not answering it, but I think you've answered it yourself.
Okay. So, another question, Rahulji, we had planned 210,000 to 360,000 capacity expansion. So is this capacity added included in that, or that would be separate?
So we have already mentioned in the investor presentations that whatever additional capacities we are augmenting or we had planned in India, we are in fact accelerating it. So this has got, essentially it is mutually exclusive from the Thailand acquisition. The Thailand acquisition will add capacities which are different from what we are planning in India. So in India, we are planning to add 100,000 tons of additional ABS, which was originally planned to come online by 2028. However, we have in fact accelerated that, where we believe part of that capacity or 50% of that capacity augmentation would happen in 26 itself, which is next year. And the balance 50,000 also would be ahead of schedule, as the CFO has already pointed out. In the case of polystyrene, again, we are conducting additional engineering studies. We do believe, so we went from 65,000 to 100,000. We do believe getting up to 150 or higher numbers also would be achieved, you know, considerably fast. So we are accelerating all our plans, as you can see. And this is a mutually exclusive from the Thailand acquisition.
Thank you, Alji. That answers my question. And I just want to understand, like, sand and rubber, like, where do they fit in the value chain? And, like, do they have a separate market of their own, or they are used to produce ABS and polystyrene?
So ABS and sand have got nothing to do with polystyrene. They are different products. You know, so they are different, the polymers. SAN, of course, is used as an intermediate to make ABS. SAN also has its own merchant market, which can be, SAN can be sold. We do sell SAN in India as well. We sell certain volumes in the merchant market here. And in Thailand, of course, also SAN is sold globally. In the case of rubber, for ABS, rubber can also be sold. It can also be bought. There are certain grades. But generally, we are always running short in terms of our rubber capacity to make our own ABS, so we don't sell it in the market.
Okay. All the best. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, please restrict yourself to 3 questions. Next question comes from the line of Ashish Upganlav from InvestCube PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much. So this Thailand acquisition has been pretty well rounded up on the call. Just a couple of things, sir. I would have missed the current capacity utilization that we are running there. And secondly, the kind of turnaround that you have alluded to on the Thailand facilities. So what is the outer timeline for this to reach a reasonable level of, say, profitability? Because you would have done those low-hanging kind of things that you would do there and bring it there. So these couple of things would help us, actually.
Yeah, so right now we are running at about 60% capacity utilization, 55 to 60% capacity utilization in Thailand. We will require, you know, some more time to, you know, really detail and answer those questions. We do have a sense of when it can happen. And we are running, you know, with a lot of projects currently in Thailand. We've just initiated. It's been under 2 weeks that we have actually taken over management control. And as you can imagine, we are competitors with INEOS. So, you know, there is a lot of information still which is coming for us. You know, in terms of asset, it's a great asset. There are no surprises. But in terms of the market opportunities out there, because these are different markets for us, we do believe there are multiple opportunities where we can easily tackle, you know, to gain additional market share and increase revenue and increase volume capacity utilizations. But this will take a little bit of time. So, you know, right now, exactly how much time that will take is something that we will be able to better address in the next set of questions in the next call.
So is it fair to assume that maybe in the next 4 quarters, maybe a year or 12 months, we'll be able to see quite a bit of this to kind of play out in terms of whatever?
I believe so. Yeah.
So, okay. And lastly, I mean, we've seen the acquisitive nature of you as a promoter, and that's the way probably things have worked for you. So, is this going to be the modus operandi typically where you have done the Indian acquisition, now the Thailand acquisition? Is it fair to assume that we might have few more as these current acquisitions mature? Are there opportunities for scale, and would that be the strategy typically for you?
So I would not necessarily use the term acquisitive to be indicative of nature of promoters per se. I think we are looking at all and every opportunity which can help the company to become stronger, more robust, and grow essentially in a sustainable manner, in a safe manner. And I think we adhere to that strategy going forward. If there are opportunities, we will definitely look at it. But we do believe currently with this acquisition in Thailand, and of course all our planned expansion in India, there is a significant you know, growth plan which has already been outlined between these two entities.
So is it safe to assume that for the next 18 months, probably we may not take anything more on the plate given the work at hand right now with organic and this inorganic thing now?
So in the previous question, I think someone did mention how attractive this particular acquisition was. So if there are very attractive opportunities that come your company's way, I'm sure you will not want me to ignore them.
Sure, yeah. Actually, thank you so much, sir. Yeah, all the best.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Ajay Sharma with Maybank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to ask you basically in terms of the global spreads. I see the global spreads actually for both ABS and polystyrene actually have improved quite a lot in the last quarter. And despite that, I didn't see that impact coming through for the company, I guess, and you explained because of higher polystyrene. But I guess, should we see that benefit come through in Q4? Because, I mean, if the global spreads are improving, I guess that improves your pricing power in India, right?
So, Ajay, overall, if you look at the global spreads for ABS or polystyrene, we don't see, in fact, any improvement. I have the data in front of me. We can share this information offline with you. But overall, you know, the spreads have, in fact, deteriorated, you know, in the last two quarters. They were very low, you know, in FY24. They slightly improved in FY25 in the first quarter, but they have, in fact, deteriorated in the last two quarters. You know, if you look at still the spreads in India versus the global spreads, Indian spreads are much better, or at least our spreads are much better. I can't, comment on the entire market, but our spreads are definitely much higher than the global spreads. So I think that is a position we do intend to defend. Going forward, you know, we will work and we'll make sure that we are able to do that. And this is true, by the way, both for ABS and for polystyrene, this declining spreads in the last two quarters.
Okay. And so I'm surprised actually with the data have seemed to suggest otherwise.
Like I said, we can share this offline with you. No problem.
Yeah. I'll check that with you offline. But, I mean, the spreads actually are already below the midpoint, I guess, in terms of if you look at the long-term averages. So, I mean, do you see room for global spreads to actually bottom out and improve? Or, I mean, what's going on? Because, or is it the China factor which is driving them down?
Yeah, so I mean, if you look at the spreads, you know, say from kind of September 22 or October 22 until now, you know, we have had we've been managing this business for the last eight quarters now, I guess. In the eight quarters that you have seen, there has been a fair amount of volatility in the spreads, right? Even though they are not high, they're low. But even at the low end, there has been some volatility. You don't see the same volatility in our spreads, right, because of the nature of business that we do in India. So I think globally, of course, there could be volatility going on in the future as well. We will have some knock-on impact, but I think we do have certain positions which are defendable in India, and we do believe that can be the case. So, you know, by, like I've mentioned in the past, by capacity augmentation, by rationalizing costs, and by improving product profiles, you know, we can remain ever more robust to ensure that our spreads are protected.
All right. And, I mean, so Thailand profitability to that extent will depend much more on the global spread, right? I mean, it's unlike India.
So one thing one has to be cognizant of, when we look at ABS spreads, global spreads, they typically talk about general purpose injection molding grade ABS, okay? In Thailand, the share of that business is extremely low, even now. We do business typically in high heat. We do in refrigeration grade liner ABS. And we do in certain other specialized sectors like electrical. So there is not a direct correlation per se. There is, of course, again, like I said, a knock-on effect for those spreads as well. But those spreads are generally better than what you would have in the general purpose injection molding grades of ABS, which would be the case, what you would normally see in your spreads, you know, which are generally published.
And would you say your spreads are comparable to Bansali? Because I see their spreads are quite high, actually, more like 25,000 per ton, whereas your blended is more like 16,000-17,000. So I'm just wondering, is it the polystyrene bringing it down, or your ABS spreads are comparable, or even your ABS spreads are lower than Bansali?
So I won't comment on the competitors. All I can say is our spreads are quite healthy and probably the best in the industry in India. And, you know, in terms of polystyrene, yes, there is certain improvements we have had as a result of validations and additional OEM business, which we have got. And now, of course, with capacity augmentation, but there is still some room to improve in both always.
Okay, last bit. So you're saying there's shortage in certain products. So, I mean, logically, shouldn't that mean better pricing power for you and a better trend for spreads going forward?
So capacities are being augmented by us and our competitors, and also there are imports coming into the country. So there is healthy competition. While you know, there is shortage of locally produced product, at least in the case of ABS, not so much in polystyrene, but in the case of ABS, there is kind of imports happening into the country. But we are also narrowing that gap with additional capacities coming online.
And the rupee depreciation, doesn't it help?
Not really. I would not say so.
It doesn't affect.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Anand Mundra with Sour Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Sir, congratulations on good acquisition. Wanted to understand, sir, how much more funds we have to invest in Thai business to turn around it?
So currently, Anand, no major capex is envisaged. I think all of this will be planned after some time. And as and when there is anything significant which would be thought for Thailand, we would definitely kind of come out with some kind of information surrounding it for all our investors.
Okay, so nothing for capex and nothing for working capital. So no more incremental investment required currently.
I think if the business grows, which we expect it to, there might be certain additional working capital required. But we'll see how to tackle that. And in terms of capex, currently there is no major capex which is planned.
Okay. And so what is the gross margin of Thai business?
So, you know, again, we have some information on that from Thailand. Again, it's competitor information. We are not actually allowed to disclose it because, you know, this is information which was with INEOS. We are still competing with them globally. As soon as we complete our first quarter of working in India, we'll be able to give that information to the public.
Thank you. Mr. Mundra, please rejoin the queue for more questions. Next question comes from the line of Meet Parikh with Mihir Asia and Company. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I wanted to ask about the 50 KTs that you are adding by FY26 and beyond that, the next 50 KT. So what would be the capex envisaged for that? And also the polystyrene that we want to expand from 65 to maybe 100-105 KTs. So what would be the timeline for that? Will that be after the ABS? And what would the capex for that be? Thank you.
Yeah. So, you know, Meet, as we had mentioned in the previous calls, our estimations were to the tune of about 650 crores investment for both the ABS, SAN and polystyrene businesses for their expansion. We still believe and hold on to that number, you know, with some margin of, you know, error. However, we do believe in terms of ABS and SAN, the investment outlay could be to the tune of about 500 crores. And for polystyrene to the tune of about 150 crores. Out of the 500 crores, you know, obviously, it will be in phases. The first phase, like I said, we are planning 50,000 tons of ABS and the next phase 50,000 tons. Some of that 500, which is for overall 100,000 tons of ABS, may be front-ended, you know, to enable quicker execution for the entire phase one and phase two of ABS. For polystyrene, we have envisaged about 150 CR, but again, engineering studies are going on for additional polystyrene. We have done debottlenecking where we have augmented capacities from 65 to 100, but to go from 100 to say 150 or 170, we will require, you know, results of those studies to come back, and that is likely in the next couple of quarters.
Thank you. Mr. Parekh, please rejoin the queue for more questions. Next question comes from the line of Siddharth Purohit with InvestQ, Investment Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. A lot of my questions have been answered, and you also answered partly on the Thailand operations. Just one clarification if you could give. I understand the Thailand market is different and the pricing are different, but players who are already operating in that geography, what kind of speed they might be operating at compared to India? Or maybe in absolute terms, if you can say.
So again, that it depends on what kind of business you are doing. You know, there is publication data typically on the general purpose, you know, injection molding grade ABS spreads, which are publicly available. The incumbents currently in the Thailand market, you know, are also selling both kinds of products. And the Thailand market, as you rightly said, is a little bit different from India. We do believe, from our perspective, we have an opportunity to grow further in the Thailand market. We only have only about a 10 to 12% share of the Thailand market as of now, out of our total current sales of, say, 25% of our sales. But the Thailand market is also larger. There is a good opportunity there to grow, even within the sectors that we say cater to in India, say in the automotive or household, there are opportunities in Thailand which are currently not being tapped. We do believe that the spreads in Thailand for these specific markets to be the same, if not a little bit better in Thailand. So we can take that and extrapolate that, you know, into some kind of a spread calculation that you would like to do for Thailand business.
Thank you. Mr. Purohit, please rejoin the queue for more questions. Next question comes from the line of Chirag Shah with Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my question. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Sir, I missed your last comment on the spreads on Thailand, which you said to the earlier participant.
No, so basically what I said is, you know, when you look at spreads for any country, the spreads vary depending on what kind of market segment you're catering to.
Correct.
So, you know, if you are to look at spreads in Thailand, say vis-a-vis spreads in India, for the specific market that we are catering to, say whether it's automotive or specifically, you know, the say the liner grade ABS market, which the Thailand business caters to, they are very different from the spreads that you would have in a general purpose injection molding ABS business. I do believe that the spreads in the Thailand business can be at par, if not slightly better than the Indian business for those specific grades. But again, this is a new business in terms of those specific grades for us. And over a period of time, we'll be able to further refine what those spreads can be.
Okay. So, sir, generally for the company as a whole, obviously I'm including both polystyrene and ABS, we are at around $200 of EBITDA per ton, correct? So the global, and you actually commented also saying that we are better than the world average. So what would be the world average, global average for EBITDA per ton roughly would be, how much discount it would be?
So I don't know anybody who, you know, makes ABS and polystyrene in the same ratio that we do. So, you know, of course, our EBITDA per ton is a reflection of, you know, kind of what business we do on, at a blended level. So it will not be fair to compare how we do it vis-a-vis anybody else in the world does it. There are spreads available on ABS. There are spreads available on polystyrene, you know, globally. And typically these spreads are definitely much lower than what we have in India.
Thank you. Mr. Shah, please rejoin the queue for more questions. Next question comes from the line of Aditya Khetan with Smith's Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the follow-up. Sir, onto the polystyrene business, sir, like we have expanded to around 1.05 and we are planning to go to 1.5. Sir, just I wanted to know, is there any economic sense like in expanding in polystyrene wherein like the industry is growing in only mid-single digits? Apart from it, sir, there is also a lingering issue globally on the single-use plastic ban, which can incrementally put a cap on the incremental demand for global polystyrene. So you think, sir, like expanding into the polystyrene makes sense? And is there any, like, so we are planning to use more polystyrene to make the polystyrene compounds or the sheeting business, which are made from polystyrene. Is that the plan ahead or what is, like, we are planning?
Yeah, it's a good question, Aditya. So, you know, historically, the polystyrene business was operating at very low volumes. You know, prior to our management takeover, the average of that plant would be, you know, less than 45,000 tons per year. We do believe to achieve economies, you know, in that plant and to make and keep that business profitable and more efficiently run, it was vital to enhance the capacities and also the utilization levels. So first we increase the utilization level to 65,000 tons, which we believe is the maximum that was possible in the plant prior to our debottlenecking. Post debottlenecking, you know, we spent about 16 crores to debottleneck general purpose polystyrene, where we are adding potentially close to 35,000 tons of volume. 35,000 tons of volume arguably adds about 350 crores at a capital investment of 16 crores, you know, would yield a very good ROC in spite of the lower margins that you see in polystyrene. This we are able to do because, of course, it's a running plant where we are doing debottlenecking. For the next phase of expansion for polystyrene, again, we are looking at HIPS, which is still growing well due to, you know, demand in refrigerators, demand in air conditioners specifically also. We do believe there is a case, a business case for growth. India will still be needing more HIPS, and, you know, our expansion will also be at a cost which will be akin to a brownfield expansion. And we do believe that the return on capital employed on that project could also be attractive and further improve our operating efficiencies on the existing site for polystyrene as a whole.
Thank you. Mr. Ketan, please rejoin the queue for more questions. Next question comes from the line of Rohit Ohri with Progressive Shares PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi. So for this strategically, geographically located property of 17 acres, which is closer to the highway as well as the railways, as well as the ocean, if you say the Gulf of Thailand, how much of free land is available and what sort of scope is there for brownfield expansion Delhi over there?
So it is hard to specify exactly what kind of a capacity augmentation can take place. There is some free land available, that is for sure, on that site. However, how that land has to be utilized and what kind of additional capacities can be augmented over there is something that we are still working out. It's still early days. Right now, the capacity of the existing plant itself is underutilized. We do believe that first we would like to you know, address that. And there are certain other efficiencies which we do believe are possible at the plant level. So there are multiple projects that we are undertaking in order to, you know, get all of that in place. Once that is in place, we will definitely review and see what kind of further capacity augmentation is possible at that site with the free land available.
Thank you. Mr. Ohri, please rejoin the queue for more questions. Next question comes from the line of Krunal Shah with Enam Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. My question is regarding the Thailand acquisition. So if you could, you know, elaborate a bit more of the competition in the area, who are the key competitors for the product that we are selling? And secondly, on the mix, you know, how is the mix between SAN and ABS in the Thailand?
Sure, Kunal. So in Thailand, you know, the market is around 150 to 200,000 tons of ABS. We actually have a very small share of that market, only about 10 to 12% market share. Around 40 to 45% of that market is with IRPC, which is the other ABS producer in Thailand, and the balance is still imported into that country. In terms of, you know, kind of split between our own ABS and SAN currently from Thailand, it's essentially half and half. So 50% of product is SAN and 50% of product produced is ABS. So there's a much higher percentage of SAN sold from the plant in Thailand, say, compared to India, for instance.
Got it. Great. Thank you, Rahul. Thank you so much.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Chintan Doshi for closing comments.
Thank you, investors and investor communities, to joining our meeting and showing interest in our company. We look forward to answer you in the next meeting, which will be announced suitable time in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Styrenix Performance Materials Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.